Hey, Bill, baby.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do hood rat stuff for my friend.
Well, you're sorry, hood man.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Smoking on your top.
Monday, December 6th, episode 138 of the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.net. So, Friday night, the Warriors do exactly what they're supposed to do. They beat a Suns team with no Devin Booker on the back end of a back-to-back and split this regular season series so far 1-1. Now, for them to run away in that game Friday night, it may have taken a little longer than some people would have wanted, right? It took until the fourth quarter. But look, this Suns team has a lot of fight. 18 games in a row, franchise record. So I think there was a little bit of extra fight out of this Suns team that was depleted because of that streak, right? But you move over to Saturday evening against the Spurs, an obvious trap game. And I think the irony of the situation is, you look at how careful the Warriors have been with Andre and Otto and some of the other veterans of this team, but yet they haven't been as careful with the system himself, Steph Curry. And you saw it Saturday night where, you know, he was dead tired. It was an obvious thing. People can talk about the lack of foul calling, and we'll talk about Kerr here in a second, right? But, and I say the Warriors, the front office, the organization, they need to do a better job of pacing Steph throughout the season. But the reality of it is it's Steph himself as well, because he has earned that cachet and that clout with the city and this franchise and the organization where, you know, they're going to listen to what he says. And the truth is, we all know Steph is hunting that third MVP right now. And so I think that he doesn't want to relent. And the fast start that the Warriors have got out to is well worth it. That's fine. But Saturday night, again, was an obvious game to rest Steph Curry and call up Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga and use that energy, youth, and exuberance. The storyline for this Warriors team has been the chemistry, the system, the fit, and it was a misstep. It was the first misstep of the season with the rotation. And, you know, I talked about it in the breakdown because you put Kuminga and Moody out there Saturday night. Not only do they have fresh young legs and bring an energy to the court, but what it also does is it holds the veterans accountable. You think Looney or Draymond would have been dogging it like they were Saturday night with Kuminga out on the floor? I don't think so, because I think all of a sudden they would have been like, all right, well, we got to show this kid the right way. We got to be accountable now, because they were letting, you saw the way it started off, they let Keldon Johnson take three warm-up threes. He shoots 41% from downtown. Like, there was just no game plan, want, or will, and they're so good, yet they still battled back in that game. But back to Steph, I think that, you know, if he rests 5-6 games this season, he's not going to be penalized in the MVP race. That's part of it now. You look, every other superstar takes a load management night off. I know he took one off in Detroit, but again, they have to do a better job of that. It's not going to penalize him. And you look at Steph, Steve, Draymond, the core of this team, a big part of what makes them so great is their competitiveness, right? But at the same time, your strength is your weakness. And they're all very quick to say the right things. Oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And we've got the big picture in mind. It's all about getting to June. But then day to day, their actions don't necessarily reflect that. It's not exactly congruent with how they operate day to day, because again, they're so competitive that they want to win everything. They want to win every quarter. And so they've got to do a better job managing Steph, whether that's picking some load management games, or how about you don't roll them out there at the end of games when you're up 20. We've seen it like a handful of times already this season, 15, 20 point lead, and Kerr has him rolled back out there. And not to jinx anything, but if those that pay attention to some women's hoop, you saw what happened to young Paige Beckers for UConn yesterday afternoon at the end of a game, 20 point lead. Prayers to her. Now, as far as Andre goes, it's kind of been downplayed, right? Oh, he's out. He's missed 10 games now in a row. And the separator to me is sore knee, swollen knee. I've heard it reported both ways. If it's a swollen knee, I guess it could be one and the same. But if the bottom line is if his knee is swollen, that's a lot more problematic than maybe just a sore knee and tendonitis that they're managing. So I don't know what's up with that. I think what happened with Andre was his return back to the Warriors. I think he was thirsty to show he still has it. He's still of value to the team. He's not just a bench coach and a vet on the end of the bench. And so we saw him turn up a lot more than we usually do the first 20 games of the season, particularly finishing above the rim, right? I don't think I've ever seen Andre have that many dunks this early in a season, probably since his first, you know, year or two with the Warriors. And so all of a sudden he's like, whoa, I got to fall back. So that's fine. As long as Andre's ready when we need him, you know, come May, that's fine. As it pertains to the rotation, I think the one thing that everybody is going to really kind of point at and question at, because it's hard to question anything the Warriors have done when you look at the record and the success they've had this early in the season, is the Chioza minutes, right? And look, I don't think he's been that bad. I understand he can penetrate and he's hit the open three here and there, but it doesn't really make sense big picture wise. And people, I think that's the one rotation where if you're Joe and you're Bob, you're kind of like, what the fuck, Steve? Right? Like Moody's a 14th pick, versatile wing shooter. Why is this kid Chioza getting his minutes? Or I guess they're not his minutes, right? But why is he ahead of him in the rotation? And perhaps it's just the natural pecking order of the NBA where Chioza's been around the league a little longer. What is he, 25, 26? They're going to give him the opportunity first. But that's the one that I would circle and say, all right, that one's kind of weird, right? The Kuminga thing, okay, even though he's the 7th pick, there's less spots for him. There's less spots in the rotation. When you look at Luna's solidified where he's at, Bielitsa, Juan T, there's more guys that he's got to get through to get on the court. Where Moody, it seems like there's spots, especially D. Lee's been in and out, Andre's out. It feels like Moody should have had more opportunities at this point. So Saturday night, after they climbed back into the game somehow, some way, I thought the misstep from Steve Kerr in the rotation was he brings Steph back in about the 6-minute mark in the fourth quarter to try to put this thing away. And he opted to keep Damian Lee in the game instead of Jordan Poole. Now, D. Lee had played well, but if you've noticed, since D. Lee's got back, he hasn't really found the rhythm on a shot yet. He's been driving and kicking a lot and finishing too a bit, but he hasn't been comfortable with the rhythm on his shot yet, but he played fine. But I thought the misstep there was Jordan Poole was super efficient. He was really one of the only guys that had a rhythm offensively throughout that game Saturday night. And then we needed more shot creation on the floor because Steph was dead tired. I know he found a second or third win there for a second, but I thought that that was a misstep. And look, this is how you learn. As players, as an organization, as a coach, they've been so dominant early on this season. There hasn't been a lot of opportunity to learn. So it could be a blessing in disguise. And Steve maybe needs to recognize that because he's kind of old school in that sense where it's not a given that if you put a young player out there, he's going to mess up. And it's not a given that if you roll with a veteran player, that he's going to do things the right way. I think he has to be a little more dynamic and a little more trusting in the young guys. I get these coaches, they want to lean on their vets, but be more dynamic within the game. Because within that situation, Poole was super efficient on that night. And it was like, yo, we probably need some of his shot creation down the stretch. So I'd like to see him be a little more giving with the minutes to the rookies. Right. And just be more dynamic in the game. You don't have to go back to Looney to start the third quarter sometimes. Right. It just be a little more dynamic, Steve. But overall, yeah, not a big deal. They got Orlando tonight, who's got a lot of young players. And then Portland Wednesday. I'll be covering all those on my Patreon with the breakdowns. You already know. Lakers over the weekend got beat by the Clippers again. Fourth straight time they've been beaten in the Ty Lue era for the Clippers. And you know how toxic this Lakers environment is getting? Because I'm reading about the game on The Athletic, and they go, the Lakers, when they play their quote centerless lineup, that's what they call it, that's what Vogel and LeBron and the guys are, when we go to the centerless lineup, which means AD's at the five. No, nigga, you are the center. It's not a centerless lineup. You're supposed to be the center. But again, that's just a little glimpse into how they have to try to finesse Anthony Davis and these egos and personalities around the team, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. I was like, the centerless lineup with LeBron and AD? Come on, man. Come on, man. Look, if they fire Frank Vogel, the cherry on top would be hiring Mark Jackson, right? And look, I know I endorsed him for the Kings a couple weeks ago. That's a completely different roster, right? Where there is no true star. And Mark can just be a coach, right? But if you infused Mark into this situation with these egos and these superstars, man, oh, man. No, I just, you know, the rumblings are getting stronger and stronger that Frank Vogel is going to be the scapegoat here. I don't know who you replace him with. That's the problem, right? You hear it in the NFL a lot, like, okay, fine, get rid of Kyle Shanahan. Who you going to get? You know, and so I don't know who's out there, because the problem is the Lakers need a coach that has enough clout and respect that he can just tell it like it is. No, AD, you're the fucking center, bro. You know, like, and I don't know who does that. I don't know where you get that. Not many of those guys out there looking to coach. Bulls beat the Nets Saturday night on the back of that nasty 1-2 punch. LaVine, DeMar. Now, Caruso left the game like 8 minutes into the game with a hamstring. And that's, you know, if you look at, he's just a big, strong, bouncy athlete. That's probably a couple weeks if it's like a legit hamstring. So that's tough, right? They were already under man. Kobe White's out again. But they got it done, man. And Harden was like 3 of 12. Lonzo D'ing him up. You know, this Brooklyn thing, it's becoming more and more clear here as Kyrie is like, he's not budging. Kyrie's not budging, right? So I've got a Kyrie trade for y'all, because I think Brooklyn is starting to recognize, like, we don't have enough. You know, you take a max player off our roster and our depth, we don't have enough. So I got to trade. How about you send Kyrie to the New Orleans Pelicans for Brandon Ingram? Let's look at it from Brooklyn's perspective. Now you get another big wing who can create his own shot. Young guy. He could be a good defender on paper. He hasn't been, right? And then who better for Ingram to develop under than Kevin Durant himself? He'd been compared to him his whole career, hasn't lived up to that, but who could, to be fair, right? But I mean, that would be, if he was around KD day to day, that'd be an ideal situation as far as him reaching his potential. He's still young, right? For New Orleans, look, here's what it is with New Orleans. They got beat by Houston last night, who, by the way, has won 7 in a row without Jalen Green, but the Pelicans are just, they're a mess. First off, I don't even think they like B.I. that much. I think it was the fact that they had to retain something from the Anthony Davis haul. So they had to, you know, they're not going to bring in free agents, so they had to sign him. But I don't think they're in love with Brandon Ingram anyway. And this would be just a very risky, I understand it, a very risky swing to keep Zion from the inevitable trade request. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, because they got to just worry about him getting on the court. I understand that. But you bring Kyrie down to New Orleans, where clearly his vax stance would not be a problem in the South, right? You let him probably get into some all sorts of weird little voodoo shit down in the bayou. He can, you know, he can do his weird shit down there. And if he's playing basketball, hell, maybe he gets Zion on some sort of plant-based diet. No, but the point is the Pelicans are in a spot here where they could do something really risky and take a big swing on someone like Kyrie, because they're kind of screwed right now as they stand. It's like a why not situation. So, because I don't, it's very hard when you think about a Kyrie trade, it's very hard to go around the league and think of a team that would be willing to take him on. Pelicans, I don't know, just a thought. You see this showcase at Staples Center over the weekend for young Bronny James, where he played LeBron's alma mater. Is that how you say that? LeBron's old high school, flew in from Cleveland. And this is, they've done that before. Now, maybe I'm getting a little too pessimistic here. I'm skeptical. I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the game in its entirety. But was it kind of scripted? for Bronny to show out at Staples Center. Everybody was there. LeBron's old team, I'm sure he has influence there, because the highlights I saw of Bronny, I don't know, it kind of looked like them, you know, those Instagram trainer videos where it's kind of like stage defense for them to get off a move. I don't know. I'm skeptical that Bronny James is going to be a, you know, high-level D1 player and make it to the league. But hey, with Bron's power, maybe he doesn't have to be. So I thought that was a little weird. How about the Hornets, though, going into Atlanta last night? Four guys in COVID protocol, including LaMelo and Scary Terry, and they still beat the Hawks. Miles Bridges putting it away late. Miles Bridges is kind of like what John Collins thinks he is, right? Now, John Collins, I guess, is a little bigger of a dude. They're similar athletes is what I'm getting at. Miles Bridges, his bag has just developed beyond what John Collins is, but Miles Bridges put it away. What am I looking for tonight? How about this young Cavs team? Almost got it done in Utah yesterday evening. Now they head to play the Bucks. So I'm curious to see what they look like against the defending champs. Oh, I guess Giannis is out with a strained calf or a sore calf. See, everybody's load managing. Luka was out with a sore ankle. I guess these are maybe more legit injuries when it pertains to Steph, who is healthy. But it was funny. I saw a little blurb that Stephen A. said, Giannis is better than Kevin Durant. And if you put Kevin Durant on the Bucks, they wouldn't win the championship. It kind of reminds me of Shaq Tim Duncan, where in a vacuum, I think prime Tim Duncan was better than prime Shaq, but Shaq was just more dominant. So, I mean, I guess you could say that that's better, but you see what I'm saying? Tim Duncan, like the skill, the overall basketball player himself in his prime was better than Shaq, but Shaq was just more dominant. It was his physical attributes and his dominance that made him more effective ultimately than Tim Duncan. And I kind of feel the same way when you're looking at Kevin Durant and Giannis. Durant's the better basketball player. It's very clear. Giannis is just more physically dominant. He's just more a dominant presence night in and night out on the floor. So again, Cavs, put them on your league pass rotation, man, because they're not the Cavs of old. And then Hawks, T-Wolves should be a lot of up and down entertaining offense. So checking for those again. Warriors, Orlando, always get that breakdown in. This is the Hezzy, brought to you by basketballgods.net. I'm out, y'all.